live and local. This is Newsmaker 3.
And at 8:44, we're pleased to have with us Ben Neely of the Kansas Department of Wildlife and Parks as we talk about a fisheries study that KDWP has recently conducted.
Ben, good morning. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Doing good. Well, thanks for taking some time this morning to join us. Ben Neely is a fisheries biologist, and they have finished up a technology study. I guess, Ben, this is kind of groundbreaking stuff here, isn't it?
Well, it's a new technology, and I believe we're the first to take a look at it from a scientific perspective.
Well, and a lot of people are aware, I mean, we've got Phil Totten hosting What's In Outdoors. I know he's brought this up on numerous occasions, basically it involves, you know, live imaging sonar, which really allows fishermen, anglers to view fish and structure below and around their boats, you know, in real time, and with technology, some really great clarity as well. And there are some who believe, it's not ethical, is what it comes down to, and others say it adds value to the overall fishing experience. And is that basically what you have based this study on, Ben, is to dive deeper into that?
Yeah, it is. So this was brought up by some constituents to commissioners, and our commissioners brought this up to the Fisheries Division and asked if we thought that this live imaging sonar would have an impact on the biology of the crappie populations, in a sense, if it was going to create opportunities where we were going to overfish these. And the technology was new enough, and those of us in the Fisheries Division didn't have experience with the technology. We'd heard about it. You know, we talked to people about it, but we hadn't had, most of us in the division hadn't had much of an opportunity to get out and see what it was all about. So that led to us putting together a study where we could, you know, assess this objectively using the controlled and replicated design. But yeah, the whole idea was to find out whether or not it would provide an advantage, and if it did provide an advantage, how much that would be.
Ben, how long did you kind of try to do this and maybe, find somebody else's, you know, process and study before deciding, hey, this isn't here and we need to get this started on our own? And how long did it take to set up this survey and this study?
So the fisheries profession is relatively small nationwide. A lot of us have broad networks across different states. And we reached out to folks that we knew. We worked with Dr. Keith Gitto at Kansas State University. He's a fisheries professor there. Worked with him, worked with his network, worked with our networks to try to figure out if anybody had done this kind of work. And we got a lot of response that other states were having the same concerns and hearing the same things. That kind of prompted us to get this going. We worked on the study design for a while. It was probably a couple months, but we had to wait until winter to do it because that's when the biggest concerns were, that folks were targeting these crappie in winter. So we'd worked on it throughout the summer and fall before doing the study at the end of last year.
So, Ben, what again? We're talking with Ben Neely, a fisheries biologist with the Kansas Department of Wildlife and Parks, on a groundbreaking study that they have just finished up fairly recently. So, how did you work the study? How did this work? How many individuals did you have involved taking part, and how long did it go?
So we had 32 individuals that we randomly paired up into 16 teams. We went out to Cedar Bluff Reservoir the first 2 weeks of December. Each team would fish on one half of the reservoir, either the north side or the south side, with their use of the Garmin LiveScopes or the units that we use. So they'd fish one side with that, the other side of the lake the next day without that. So that way we were able to, compare the effects of the side of lake on catch and also the use of the live imaging sonar on catch. So we did it over a 2 week period. Alex did 32 individuals. It was a mix of folks from Kansas Wildlife and Parks, Kansas, and then we had a couple of local volunteers from the Cedar Bluff area that came out and helped us as well.
The question obviously comes up is what did you find here with the results of this study, and really, not only just the raw data, but why something like this is important.
Sure. I want to preface by saying that there's a lot of variability in angler catch, and there is a lot of factors that influence angler catch. Most importantly is probably angler skill and experience. Unfortunately, that was really the one thing we couldn't control for. So that was part of the reason that we chose Cedar Bluff Reservoir. There were other reasons as well, but it was a lake that the participants knew about but weren't necessarily super familiar with. So what we were trying to replicate was we term it a casual weekend angler. So we're talking about a pair of buddies that know how to fish, that know how LiveScope works, that go to a new impoundment for the weekend and to try to see if it would influence or catch a crappie. And what we found was that the folks that were using the live imaging sonar had a little bit more success catching fish. They average about one more fish per day than the ones that weren't using it, but there weren't any statistical differences. And it didn't really raise any red flags for us that, at least for the casual weekend anglers, that this technology was going to make a huge difference in the crappie populations.
So were there any other species involved in this study, Ben?
Yeah, we caught, there was 8 or 10 species altogether that were caught. There was a lot of white bass that were caught, largemouth bass, spotted bass, a few walleye, a few bluegill, freshwater drum, a few wipers. So there was, we caught a lot of different species. The way that we had it set up was we told the anglers to treat it like a crappie tournament, where the total inches of crappie was what they were shooting for. So if they were to get on a school of white bass, for example, typically they would pull up and go try a different spot to try to get onto crappie again.
So, we talked about the number of crappie per day. What about the size? Was that a part of this too?
Yeah, it was. And what we saw was that there really wasn't a difference. The average fish caught, the average crappie caught without LiveScope was 10 and a half inches. The average fish with was 10.8 inches. Smallest fish was 6.6 inches in both instances. Then the largest fish without was 16.1 inches. And the largest fish that was caught with LiveScope was 15.4 inches. So we didn't see a difference in size.
Ben, does this possibly transition into maybe some other studies that could wind up involving maybe other fish or maybe other issues when it comes to fishing that are potentially hot topics among anglers?
Yeah, absolutely. The biggest question that we've received so far from peers is what about the expert anglers? As with any technology, there is a learning curve associated with using this live imaging sonar. And we had these boats set up to get familiar with this equipment, and we had about 5 months to work with it and understand how it works. So all of the participants in this study knew how it worked, but none of them were everyday anglers. So we need to come up with a way to understand how this technology is affecting experienced users. We have a question of whether or not it's going to increase harvest or if it's just increased efficiency. You know, an example being if somebody would catch 20 crappie, where without live imaging sonar, it might take them 4 hours, but with it might take them 3 hours. So we're wanting to look at that. We're wanting to assess some of the sociological ideas behind it, whether or not this is affecting the anglers more than it's affecting the fish populations. And then we're also going to do a similar study on blue catfish later this summer. Blue catfish are a larger bodied fish. They take a lot longer to get to these large sizes, more easily exploited than crappie by taking some larger fish out. So we're putting together a similar study using some of the lessons that we learned on this crappie study, and we'll assess blue catfish later this summer.
All right, so the crappie findings are that not much of a difference with live imaging sonar then is that's what we get out of this, that it's really not crossing the fair chase line, Ben?
You know, from the results that we found for that casual weekend angler, I think that's a pretty solid conclusion. With any study, it just creates more questions, and, that's kind of a hallmark of science. So this was a great first step towards understanding the influence, and we're definitely looking forward to answering some of these additional questions.
One other question here too, Ben, and I know our time is getting short here, but a few weeks back it was announced that Wildlife and Parks is going to be taking over the former Dynamic Discs warehouse in the 3600 block of West 6th Avenue. How does that help either the local/regional mission here for Wildlife and Parks or the mission statewide?
Sure. It's so Emporia houses our research and survey office, and it's a wide group of individuals in the Wildlife Division and the Fisheries Division that handles a lot of the statewide research, statewide duties. This gives us the opportunity to expand our capacity. We were getting a little bit short on space on our Merchant Street office, and this gives us an opportunity to get some more storage space. We have federal grant funding that's coming in that's enabling us to, you know, expand some of our equipment, expand some positions. It's allowing us to grow and take advantage of some of these federal dollars that previously we weren't able to use. Now, we are leaving the Merchant Street office is still open. I mean, that's still our forward-facing office. We still have staff there. You still buy your fishing licenses and hunting licenses there. This is just, it's more of an offshoot, a lab-type facility where we can, work a little bit more on some of these projects.
Well, congratulations on the effort. Sounds like it was a very successful study and a lot of valuable information. You were able to garner with live imaging sonar and the effects on crappie and the population here in the state of Kansas. Ben, great job this morning. We appreciate your time.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about it.
Yeah, good to talk to you. Yeah, Ben Neely, a fisheries biologist, Kansas Department of Wildlife and Parks, talking about this study that's recently completed. Very interesting stuff there, Chuck.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll be having more stories coming from that here this week on KVUE and KVUE.com. We mentioned here tomorrow's schedule. We'll go through it again. Don't forget, it's day 3 of the United We Thrive KVUE Live Morning Drive Auction from 6:30 to 9. Shelby Clark's our newsmaker guest tomorrow, talking about bowling for Bentley, one of the big activities Saturday night. Clara Korn updating the work of Bloomhouse at 8:20 for the Newsmaker 2 segment, and the biweekly appearance of Lyon County History Center Director Greg Jordan at 8:40. All tomorrow here on KVUE.
All right, and make sure you log on and get the latest update, because we still have bidding going on.
Ooh, yes. Get those bids in. We got just a few minutes left.
Yeah, the United We Thrive KVUE Live Morning Drive Auction still goes until about 9 o'clock, or until the bidding is done.
Mm-hmm.
So get those bids in on all the items. You can follow along. Log on to KVUE.com. Thanks for your nice bids here this morning. 8:57, sunshine and 47 degrees. Good morning.
Get ready for a great show. Saturday.